Blog Talk Radio.
A lot of us in this house tonight, we're on the potter's wheel right now. And it's not comfortable. It doesn't feel good. But we need to just take solace in the fact that even though it may not feel good right now, as long as I'm in his hands, I know that everything is going to be all right. Just touch somebody, look them in the face, and tell them, I'm in his hands. Listen.
He sees.
He sees the tears you cry.
And he shares.
He shares your pain inside.
And sometimes.
Sometimes you wonder why he
allows
you to
go through
what you go through.
What you go through.
Good place to slip up those hands and give me some praise. Oh, I can't get no help in here. That's a good place to bless him. Listen, listen to the words.
See your day.
Your days are filled with dark clouds.
Even when the sun is up, yes it
is.
And from the top of your
lungs,
you
shout.
Oh, can I tell you one thing? Remember, just know
he has his hands.
He has
his hands on you.
Yes, he does.
He said,
I'll see you through. And when you cry, he's holding you. So just listen. For he will provide, yes yes he will, just know he has his hands on. Sometimes you feel so alone, like a child lost and no home. They keep telling we tend to forget.
Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We are back. I thank God for you. This has been a beautiful, wonderful, blessed day. And I know all of God's people are rejoicing because God has showed up one more time on our behalf. Well, hello, hello, hello. It is Sunday, July 21st. I am your host, sanctified and set apart with a shot of the Holy Ghost. I am Pastor D. Townsend, and welcome to the Jubilee Affair, Season 2. Brought to you always by the HubNet Online Network, this is God's show for God's people. As always, I am joined by the good brother, Hakim Nuba.
Hey, good evening, sir. How are you?
Brother, it's a blessing to be alive, sir. How are you?
I'm feeling well, and I agree. It truly is a blessing.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You see, I'm a little hoarse today, man. Like I told you, I kind of preached myself into a frenzy this morning, and I just couldn't stop, doctor.
Hey, you know, doing that great work.
Yes, sir. It's all for the kingdom's sake, doc, so I don't mind being a little hoarse, doc. Amen. Well, if you are in need of prayer, you can contact us on the Jubilee Affair Facebook page. You can tweet the HubNet Online Network. But the quickest way is to call the show. That number is 646-787-1798. Again, it is 646-787-1798. And all you have to do is press the number 1 and you'll be placed in queue. And if you have a word to speak or you just want to give a praise report or whatever is on your heart, amen, you press the number 1 and you can speak to the good brother Hakim and myself, amen. As you all know, I always love to open up the show with prayer. Prayer is a communication between yourself and God, amen. And I believe that prayer changes things, amen. So again, let us go to the throne of grace. Father God, we thank you. We thank you and we thank you, Father, for what you're doing and what you're going to do in our lives. Father God, we just bless your name on this afternoon, on this evening, Father, because no other help do we know, Father. You have showed up, Father. You have showed out, Father. You have kept us. You continue to keep us, Father. You have protected us. Father, yes, there were some that lay down last night, Father, that did not get up this morning, but you saw fit for us to make it through, Father, just one more time. So, Father God, I bless your name right now because you've been so good unto me. Now, Father God, I ask that you would bless all those, Father, within the sound of my voice. Bless all the network shows, Father, on this wonderful network. Bless our newest show, Father, that just started this past week. Bless the show and the host, Father. I also ask that you would bless Brother Hakim, Father, in all that he do. Bless Sister Michelle, Father, in all that she does. Continue to take this network to higher and higher heights. And now I ask, Father, that you would bless me, your servant, Father. Continue, Father, to give me your spiritual wisdom and knowledge and understanding so that I may teach your people what thus saith the Lord. I thank you. I honor you. And I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You all know that I always, after my prayer, I always give my listeners, you all, a chance to ask questions. A lot of times people want to talk on the network and on the air, but the questions that they have, they feel embarrassed by asking them, and thus they feel more comfortable just emailing them to me. And like I said, I try to answer every question truthfully, wholeheartedly with the spirit in mind, And I'm not above reproach to where I, if there's an answer or a question that you ask that I don't have the answer to, I will get back with you. I will not just give you an answer off the top of my head. Amen. So I got a couple questions that were asked of me, and I picked the top three. Amen. The first one, it says that I have always been afraid of Muslims ever since 9/11. I don't trust them, and I don't like them. And the question is, Pastor, does God love Muslims? Let me say this to you. God loves all people. Now, there are times that we can sit back and say that one side of the ocean or one side of the brook may not be as stable as the other. But that does not mean that God does not love them. I heard when you said that you don't like them and that you've always hated them. Well, then my question to you is, are you truly listening or do you truly understand what the Bible says? The Bible says that we are to love everybody, despite of, in spite of, those who try to hurt us, those who try to misuse us. We have to love them. So I have to start with you. If you say can say that you hate a person, now let me also say this. We have some bad Christians. We have some Christians that have gone in and killed children, that have gone in and killed people in the church. They claim to be Christians. We have people that are Christians that have done all kind of crazy stuff. And just because we have some, again, crazed Muslims that believe in one thing and they believe in the death of the infidel and all of that, okay, again, you need to understand that there are crazy people everywhere, misguided people everywhere, in all religions. So you can't just put it all on Muslims. I will just tell you that in order for you to see the light, you have to let go of that hate. And don't sit there and criticize and target all Muslims. Some of them are very peaceful people and wouldn't dare want to hurt anybody. But you have to get past your hate. You got to look at the mirror. Look at yourself in the mirror. Get past your hate and let God speak to you. Then and only then will you be able to see and understand what I'm saying. When I first got saved, let me say this. When I first got saved, if it wasn't about Jesus, I didn't want to hear it. But it took for me to take a class on world religions, and this class opened up my mind and my soul to understand all the different religions of the world. And so I'm saying that to say that just because they don't believe what you believe, that does not mean that they're bad people. Always remember that God loves his creation. We as Christians, we sin every day too. What will we do if we pray as Christians 3 to 4 times a day? Fervent prayers. And not just over our food. Or in the morning times, we say, thank you, Lord, and we keep on moving. We don't think nothing else about them. What if we did that? Effective prayers. Where would we be? What would God do for us? So I'm saying to you, learn how to love, and then maybe you will see things differently. God loves the sinner, but he hates to sin. And the sin is something that none of us can get rid of. But you can, you don't have to walk in hate. I don't care what nobody tells you. You do not have to walk in hate. The next question is, hello, Pastor. Thank you for taking this question. It's hard for me to say this, but I need your opinion on this. I am a former Satanist and Wiccan. Can I be forgiven? Well, yes, you can. There is no sin, no big sin, and no little sin that you have done that you cannot be forgiven of. The Bible says that the only sin that is impartable is the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. If you unknowingly did some things that you didn't know that was full of sin, and you began to see things in a different light, now you see that you want to do things and change your life from being that former Satanist and Wiccan to now you want to walk in the light of Jesus Christ, then yes, repent of your sins. Tell God that you're sorry for the things that you've done and that you repent and that you want to live a new life through him and that you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and Redeemer. And mean it within your heart. Mean it within your soul. Live a new life, following the commandments of God and walking in his holy ways. And find you a Bible-based church that's teaching the word of God, where you can learn with others, where you can pray with others, where they can pray for you, where you can understand that you are not alone in that journey and in that fight. And then the love of God will fall upon you. But you have to repent of your sins and truly mean it, and ask God to come in and to set up shop in your heart. Now, it's not going to be easy. You're going to have a target placed on you. The enemies are going to try to rob, steal, kill, and destroy you and frustrate you and say that Jesus does not exist, that there's no such thing. I don't know why you turn your life over to him. Come back to where, come back over here and stay away from that stuff. Stay on your path. Stay on your path. If you intend to lead a new life, now is the time. Repent. Repent. Find a church. Learn about God. And live your life so that he would be well pleased with you. Hey, man, I'll ask you to please email me and let me know when you have found you a church where I can also support you, amen, and give you some tips or whatever I can do to help you along the way. Please email me and let me know how your journey is going, amen. This question is so profound, but it's also very dangerous. It says, hello, Pastor. I have a really, really strong question for you. And please do not take this question as being, as I'm being funny or trying to tell a joke. But why does sin feel so good? Why does sin feel so good? Because sin is of the flesh. Jesus said in the garden, as he was healing the guard's ear after Peter had sliced it off, he said, "Those who live by the sword shall die by the sword. Truly the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." This flesh that we live in, this body that we live in, that our souls inhabit, has been corrupted by evil. And thus, because it's been corrupted by evil, it tries to hold down our souls. So sin is the one thing that makes everything feels good. Sin makes the body feel good. Sometimes, you know, well, not sometimes, most times, we're attracted to what makes the body feel good. Being a man, you may see a pretty young lady walking past and your mind starts to wonder. Being a young lady, you may see a handsome, strapping young man walk past and your mind begins to wonder. And it's all in what the body wants. But have you noticed that sin, all of this sin, really is no good to your body? Sin is no good to your body, but it feels good. I give you an example. Salt. Salt can make the most nastiest vegetable taste good. You see, I'm a meat eater, amen, and I eat vegetables every blue moon, but salt can make anything taste good. But too much salt can affect the body, can cause problems, and over time, it can kill you, just like sin. Too much of it will cause your heart to go cold. Too much of sin will tear you down. Too much sin will take your hands out of God's hands. So yes, it feels good to the body. It feels good, but it's not good. It's like a car. If you got you a 2019 car, let's say a Challenger, I love muscle cars, and you're putting that regular old unleaded gas in that Charger or that Challenger, knowing that you ought to be putting your Ultra gas in there, your Supreme gas, your 93 gas, what's going to happen after a while? The car is going to start slowing down and not performing at its pace or at the highest that it can go. Thus, the same way, too much sin will slow the body down, will slow your spirit down, and you become entangled. Like in a spider web, you've all seen flies and ants in a spider web. No matter what they do, they cannot get out. No matter what they do, they get caught up more and more. And the only thing that pulls them out of that web is that ravenous spider that's coming out to get them. My Lord, I hope that answers your question. Please email me anytime. It's what I'm here for. It's my job to help you. Hey, man, if I can't help you, I definitely won't hurt you. Amen. Moving on, I am happy, I am excited, and I am full of joy. And it is my prayer that you are too. It is my job to release the captives, to teach God's word, and to stand on his promises, and to be a shoulder to those who need someone to lean on. As we close out this season of the Jubilee Affair, this is our last episode for this season, and we will be starting back up in 2 weeks. I am just so honored to have spent 2 seasons preaching the word to the world. This goes beyond the church. This goes beyond anything that man can give me. But this here, my words that God has given me, can go out to the world. And I am forever grateful for this network, for this team that God has put together to support me. I just thank you, because I couldn't have done it without you. But it's time for the word, amen. Let us pray. Eternal Father, it's me, your most humble servant. Lord, I decrease so that you may increase. More of you, less of me. And I thank you. I honor you, and I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture will come out of the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning with verse 45, and for your listening pleasure, it reads, "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You have come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camps to the Philistines, to the birds of the Philistines, to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, but for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands.' So it was, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran towards the army to meet this Goliath. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and when he slung it, he struck Goliath in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over Goliath with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his own sword out, the sheath, and killed him and cut off his head. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Sherem, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistines and brought it into Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent." May God continue to bless the reading of his holy word. For a subject today, are you a giant killer or a mountain mover? The story of David has always captivated me. It teaches us, the readers, that fear and faith cannot reside in the lives of those who call on God. The story of David also teaches that as long as God is on one side, we are invincible to the things of this world. In fact, the Apostle Paul made it very clear in Romans 8:37, where it says, "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us." David knew that as long as he kept his hands in God's hands, that nothing would overtake his life. No man, no lion or bears, and definitely no Goliath. This young man, David, heard this Philistine general badmouthing the name and the army of the Lord. He knew that he would have to strike him down, and by the hand of man and the touch of God, David slayed the beast and brought his enemies down to their knees. And it was at this point that most theologians and philosophers gave David the title of giant killer. Most believed that it was his victory over Goliath that made him famous, but I can't agree with that. No. You see, killing Goliath was easy for David. David had already killed a lion and a bear who tried to take his sheep and tried to kill his flock. So it became easy for David to kill something, outwit something that was bigger and stronger than him. But it was after this battle. It was after this battle where David had to live up to the title of giant killer. You see, the king Saul turned against David. He chased David, and David ran like a common fugitive. In his pit of despair, David allowed his thoughts and his issues and his own personal sin to cause him to be on the outside looking in. Amen. However, not all of David's life was bad, and yes, he had to fight, and yes, he was the warrior king, and yes, he had a lot of bloodshed or on his hands, but everything that he did it as he stepped out on faith to do it, amen. But in my opinion, what made David that great giant killer was that he was never afraid to give God the praise despite the fact of who was around him. Oh, come on, somebody. David sung praises unto God, wrote literature expounding on the goodness and the greatness of God, and even in his despair, even in the midst of the greatest sin that he could have ever committed, even in the times where he knew that God was right there with him, even all through everything that David did, he declared in Psalms 23:4 that, "Yea, though I walk through the valley and of the shadow of death, that I will fear no evil. For you, my God, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." But what was David saying? He was saying that even though death surrounds me, even though sin is ready to swallow me whole, even though there are times that I do not know if I am coming or going, but it's something about you, oh God, that keeps me, that holds me, that protects me, that uplifts me, that carries me, that surrounds me, that holds me up when I cannot hold myself. Psalm 119, verse 105, asserted that your word, my God, is like a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And even though I travel some dark and disgusting path, I trust you, oh God. Your word is like a rod in my left hand that I can swing at my enemies.
And then when they come upon me to eat of my flesh, your word is like a staff that balances me when I get weary and weak. And your word sustains me in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of tragedy. Your word, oh God, purifies my soul when the world tries to tear me down. And on that day, Father, on that day, Father God, that I have been so full of your word, on that day, Father God, when I forget that I was yet once a sinner, on that day, Father God, when I start to look at those around me and I start to judge. In other words, Father God, when I forget where I come from, when I begin to point a finger at the sinners, at the scoffers, at the liars and the fornicators and the adulterers, your word reminds me that as I point my finger at them, that I have four other fingers pointing back at me. David was that great giant killer, but it had nothing to do with him, but all that God did through him. His faith in God is what made him a man after God's own heart. But what say you? Are you a giant killer or a mountain mover? And since we are discussing kings, may I turn to the page to the greatest king of them all, the King of Kings, my King, my Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer, my Jesus, who took on the role not only as king and Messiah, but a great giant killer. There was not too much of a change between the time of Jesus and the time of David. Jesus also had to slay some beasts in his time. Those religious scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees, those teachers of the law who believed that Jesus was teaching a word that would turn the people away from them, thus causing their finances and opportunity for advancement to dry up. These very men, thus at every moment, they lied on him. They backstabbed him. They threw up false allegations. But through it all, Jesus reminded his followers in Matthew 17:20, it says, "For truly I say to you, that if you have enough faith as the grain of a mustard seed, that you will tell that mountain to move from here, and it has to move out your way. And it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." So when I started to think about it, it came to my mind that the mountain is the biggest obstacle in one's path. But your attitude towards that mountain determines your journey. In other words, your attitude determines your altitude. Amen. It's your attitude on how you go up that mountain, and it's your attitude how you come down that mountain. But if you desire to be a mountain mover, one must take on the attitude of Jesus. When I ask myself that question, are you a giant killer or are you a mountain mover? I would have to answer, I am both. John 14:12 states, very truly I tell you that whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to my Father. And because my Jesus was both, greater works will I do on this earth. So I can tell you wholeheartedly that mountain, amen, that I am a mountain mover, that obstacle, that sickness, that disease, that mental breakdown, the time that they called you dumb, ignorant, stupid, that you would be dead before 21, that you were a menace to society, the times when you felt unwanted, unloved, dead to the world, a walking zombie, alive on the outside, but dead on the inside. You can tell all of that to move out your way. And by doing so, Jesus promised victory over this world. When they marched Jesus up on that mountain to Golgotha, I can hear him reciting the words out of Psalm 23:4, saying, "Yea, though I walk through the valley and of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Jesus looked at his left hand and saw the rod, which represented redemption, and a staff in his right hand, which represented salvation. But the cross on his back represented the glorification, and it is through his most precious blood that we as his people receive the purification. And I want to ask you, are you a mountain mover? Do I have any mathematicians in the house? Correct me if I am wrong, but 1 + 1 = 2. One part giant killer, one part mountain mover equals a mighty servant of God. God is calling us higher. God is calling us to get stronger. God is calling you. Are you a mountain mover or are you a giant killer? That's my question to you. Because if you are a mountain mover and if you are a giant killer, then you have to be that at all times. Not just when a spirit falls upon you, not just when the spirit hits you, and not just when you're feeling good. You got to be a mountain mover, a giant killer, when all your bills are due and you don't have enough money to rake across the floor. You got to be a giant killer when the doctors tell you that there's nothing else that they can do for you. You got to be a giant killer when you know that you've done all that you can do and nobody really cares about what you've done. You don't get no gratification out of it. You have to be a giant killer at all times and a mountain mover at all times, because if not, if you are not at all times a mountain mover and a giant killer, then you're just blowing out hot air. You see, God is looking for those who got the faith. God is looking for those who will stand on his promises, who will stand on his word, who will not fall easy to the prey of sin. God is looking for those who will stand up and shout and give praises unto him, despite the fact of what may be going on, despite the fact of what it seems like, despite the fact of how you're treated, despite the fact of what they do, despite the fact of what is said. You see, a mountain mover and a giant killer will let those arrows bounce right off their body. When you put on that whole armor of God, the weakest part to the armor is your back. But being a giant killer, you don't have to worry, because God has your back. Are you a mountain mover or are you a giant killer? You see, David learned at a young age that he was both, because many things came upon him after he slayed the beast. Jesus learned at an age that you have to stand on God's promises regardless to what man thinks about you or what man says about you. I urge you to be a mountain mover and to be a giant killer, to be saved and sanctified, to know without a shadow of a doubt that if you died right this moment, that you would go before the throne of grace singing hallelujah to the highest. These things of this world that try to kill us, that tries to deter us, that tries to stop us, that tries to manipulate us, it's all subliminal messages. You don't have to fall into sin. You tell that sin that you are more than a conqueror, that you are a mountain mover, that you are a giant killer, because the blood of Jesus has fallen upon you, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Do I have some giant killers out there? Do I have some mountain movers out there? What say you, church? What are you willing to do? What are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to give up for the kingdom? Amen. May God bless you.
and may God keep you. I always like to end my message with an opportunity to give your life over to Christ. If you are one and you know for sure that you are on the outside, like David was, looking in, and you want to know about Christ, then pray this prayer with me. Father God, I love you. I ask that you would come into my heart. Lord, I believe that you lived, that you died, and that you rose on that third day. Now, Father, be the Lord of my life. Help me to see your word, your will for my life clearly. I repent of all sins through thought, word, and deed. I am yours, and you are mine. Receive me into your kingdom, and I will do my best to please you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you really, sincerely, wholeheartedly meant that prayer that you just prayed with me, then salvation belongs to you. That means if you died this very moment, that you would go unto heaven. If you died this very moment. Now, I urge you to get into a Bible-based church. Be ye baptized and live a good Christian life. And let God have his way in your life. And I promise you, you will see things that you've never seen before. Amen. Amen. Before we open up the phone lines, Brother Hakim, I want to make one announcement that my wife and we all know my wife, Sister Tremaine. She received, Brother Hakim, her license to preach the gospel. Amen. And she is now Minister Tremaine Townsend. Amen.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I'm so proud of her. And I look forward to
That's had
right,
to sneak that
right.
in there.
Amen, Doctor. And I'm just so proud of her, amen. And I just ask that those of you who listen to the show and who know my wife, as she has called and has supported this show many, many times, I ask that you would pray for her ministry, that you would pray that God will continue to bless her, that he would use her mightily. Amen. All right. Now, Brother Hakim, do we have anybody on the line that may want to give a word to us?
Yes, we're going to start with Darius, who's been waiting.
Hey, man. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair, Brother Darius.
Good evening, Pastor Townsend.
Good evening, sir. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. At our church today, we had Pastor's Appreciation Day. And then we got a call this week that my grandma's close friend at my church passed away.
Oh no.
I think they said a funeral might be a Thursday at my church. So I'm gonna show my support to the family, but I'm beyond. I said I've been to enough funerals.
Amen.
It's like the new normal. Like I'm just used to
Amen.
It now. I need to hear good news. I'm tired of hearing bad news. I need to hear some good news.
Amen. Well, you know that. As the Apostle Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And this young lady who just made her transition over into the Holy of Holies, Brother Darius, is enjoying a peaceful rest right now. Amen. So, Father God, we just ask that you will touch the family, that you would comfort this family, Father, in their time of loss, Father, that you would wipe the tears from their eyes, Father, and that you would answer any questions, Father, that they may have, Father. that you will continue, Father, to show them your grace and your mercy, Father, and that you would step in to be the grandmother, to be the mother, to be the auntie, Father God, whatever she was to this family, that you would make it so, Father, and that you would step in and be just that. We ask, Father God, for peace within their gates from this moment on. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's always good talking to you, Brother Darius.
Yes, and that our annual conference is starting up the last week of July, early August in Pittsburgh.
Amen. Amen.
So,
well, you know, my annual conference starts the same time. Amen.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? We pray and let us pray over your annual conference, Father God, that you would touch the annual conference, Father, of the Second Episcopal District, if I'm not mistaken, Father, that you would bless them, Father, that you would help them, that you would hold them up, Father, that you would bless the bishop, all the pastors, all the ministers, Father, all the laity, Father, all the officers, Father, that you would hold them, that you would bless them, Father, and that you would let their conference be fruitful, Father, that you would let their conference, Father, be an amazing event, Father, and let lives be changed and transformed, Father. I pray for all the pastors, Father, of that district, of that region, Father, that you would touch and that you would appoint and that you would anoint. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Darius.
You're welcome.
Amen. Amen. Brother Kim, do we have anybody else on the line that may want to give a word?
Yeah. Yes, we have one more. Here we go.
Amen. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Hello.
Hello. How you doing?
Hello.
Welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Hi. Hello. This is Tremaine Townsend. I just wanted to thank you so much for the congratulations, but I also wanted to tell you that I thank you for being such an awesome pastor and teacher. If it wasn't for your teaching and your guidance and your leading through the Holy Spirit, that I wouldn't have made this accomplishment. And I am looking forward to moving higher as you go higher, as the Lord allows it to happen, in Jesus' name. And I thank you so much again, and awesome words as always.
Oh, thank you, thank you. You know, I would have to always say, Brother Kim, you know, a lot of people don't know that my wife, I'm harder on her than I am on all my other ministers at my church, and it's because she represents me. And I expect greatness out of her as well as them. And so, you know, I always tell her that if something ever happens to me, that she has to pick up the mantle and keep it moving. So I always look to her, and I always, you know, I pressure her, because I know that as I pressure her, that a diamond will come out. You see, a diamond is formed under pressure. And so I know that as I pressure her to be better and to be better than me, that diamond will come forth.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Tremaine.
Thank
Minister
you.
Tremaine, thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Bless you.
God bless you. Thank you. Amen. As we are down to the last 5 minutes, amen, do we have anybody that may want to give a word? Amen. This is our season finale. Amen. In season 3, you're going to expect some wonderful things. Amen. God is going to bless, and God is going to bless. We got some good interviews coming up. We got some good Holy Ghost word coming up. Amen. I'm just excited. I'm looking forward to it. Amen. I wish I could start the season tomorrow. Amen. But God says, you know, son, take a little rest. And collect your thoughts and get back into the battlefield, amen. And that's what I'm going to do. So, do we have anybody that wants to give a word before we close, amen?
We have some people listening, but we don't have anyone who's pressed the number one, which indicates that you want to be live on air with the pastor. Now's your chance. We have a few moments left,
Amen.
Charles, so let's take advantage.
Amen. Amen. While we wait, let me do this. I want to pray a prayer for all those who have lost power in Detroit overnight. Father God, that you would restore this power in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, that you would send the workers out, Father, who can repair, Father, who can fix the grid or whatever the situation may be, Father. We ask that you would touch right now. And Father God, those who are sitting in the houses, Father, with no air, bless them, Father. Send a cool breeze into their household, Father, because I know, Father, that it's needed. We thank you in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we're down to the last wire of the show, and I just wanted to say that in the next season, in a couple of weeks, we will be back. Amen. Until then, I am always here for you. If you need me, you can always contact me on the Jubilee Affair Facebook page. Tweet us. Amen. Whatever you need, I am always here. And on behalf of the good brother Hakim Nuba, the newly appointed Minister Tremaine, Brother Darius, and myself, Pastor D, we are signing off. Good night. And God bless.